All right, so tell me a little bit about how you went from, you know, ring announcer to author and then one-man show guy. How'd that happen?
It's all connected because when I came off the road with WCW, after being on the road an average of 20 nights a month, it was very difficult to make the transition to a more sedentary life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became a therapeutic exercise where I just started to write a little bit, and I had no intention of writing a book. I didn't write anything like in preparation for this while I was still announcing full time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept writing and writing and writing, and it turned into a book. I spent 2 years not doing anything else. And to tell you the truth, it was my I'm a teacher by trade and mm-hmm. Announcer by trade, and writing was in a lot of ways the most enjoyable because, well, I'm a homebody, plus you have total control over what you do.
Sure.
I know it's weird that a homebody would be on the road 20 days a month, but I loved I loved wrestling, so that was the answer there. And so at the time when my book first came out, to get the word out about my book Body Slams, I thought, well, let me provide an entertaining way for people to get some of the information that I'm writing about and also to promote the book at the same time.
Sure.
And that's how one led to the other, which led to the other. That was back when my book came out. I've updated everything for this current tour that I'm on.
So let's talk a little bit about this current tour. Where is it taking you? What are some of your upcoming shows? Like, let us know.
I just was touring with the show down south. I was in Atlanta, Tampa, and Orlando.
Mm-hmm. NWA hotbeds right there.
Yeah. I mean, hotbeds of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I continue in the same vein. Asbury Park, New Jersey, which is really significant for me because it was the first city when I was a kid that I was brought to watch wrestling live.
Yeah.
So I want to do the show in Asbury Park. That's October 28th. And then I go to Louisville, Kentucky on November 4th. And then Queens, New York on November 11th.
Wow. Yeah, so you're busy. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, and there have been inquiries from other parts of the country. And I'm talking to different promoters about bringing the show out to where I haven't been yet.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about, let's give people the pitch for Beyond Body Slams. Like what's like a moment in the play, like without giving too much away, like one of your favorite moments in this one man show. And how do you think that like, connects the audience to what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, in a general sense, we're going to celebrate being wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interactive show. So at times I'm in the audience talking to people. I want to know what brought them to wrestling. How did they discover wrestling to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
And you will find when you come to the show a commonality, like, the answers are very similar one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear how at the show. And then I tell you my experience and my journey. And as I take you through the WWF, WCW, NWA, AWA, Ring of Honor, I am showing you giant screen video of very rare footage, never before seen.
Wow.
One of my favorite things is I pay tribute to Gorilla Monsoon because he's the man that's responsible for my 43-year association in pro wrestling. Also, one of my greatest hits, you know, it's sort of like if you go to a Springsteen concert, you want to hear Born to Run. If you come to a GMC show, I have to tell you the story about the night Mick Foley lost his ear in Munich, Germany. And the referee flipped it to me, and what that experience was like. And Ric Flair was in charge that night backstage. So what happened when I brought Rick Cactus's ear? you know, things like that. They're just crazy things that people would say, no, there's no way that could have ever happened. But it did, you know, over and over again. I just found myself in the middle of stories that people have heard over and over and over again, like the night Arn Anderson, Sid Vicious got into a scissor fight in the United Kingdom. Happened outside my hotel room because I was across the hall from Arn. You know, so you'll see media from that event, and I'll tell you what happened leading up to it. And I talk about current WWE. One of my favorite parts of the show is talking about independent wrestling and the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I firmly believe that if you say that you love pro wrestling, that you need to get out and support indie wrestling, where tomorrow's superstars are learning their craft. So I go all over the place, but when you see the show, I promise you, it's a cohesive unit. It's very much like a wrestling match, where I know the topics I'm going to hit, I know where I need to get to, and every night it can be different as to how I get there.
Yeah.
I'm known, you know, to be a little opinionated, so sometimes I go on rants.
Sure.
But everybody in the audience is safe. I don't embarrass anybody. we just have fun.
Awesome. So let me ask you, you tell so many stories in the book and in the show, but what's like one story that you think people have forgotten that you think needs to be told more often?
That people have forgotten? That's really difficult to judge. What have people forgotten? It's easy to know what people remember because they talk about it.
Sure.
What don't they talk about? Gorilla Monsoon, by all indications, should have been a partner and co-owner of WWE.
Wow.
And it was snatched away from him. I don't even know that many people knew that, you know, that he was a partner with the original Vince Sr.
Mm-hmm.
And when Vinny went national with Hulkamania in the mid-80s, Monsoon was forced to relinquish his shares in the company.
Wow.
So I don't know if people forgot that or if they never knew that. But I talk about that in the show.
Let's talk a little bit about, like, you mentioned that Gorilla got you into wrestling. How did that happen, and what are your feelings for Gorilla as a person and as a performer?
Highest regards. I volunteered to announce one night because they didn't have an announcer. I had no intention, no desire to be part of the show at all. It was just that they needed an announcer, and I just volunteered for the night. And at the end of the night, they asked me if I wanted to continue with them. And that was the first night of 43 years. He was, like I said, he was a co-owner of the organization. And he kept me working. He put me on television. He was the first, he along with the Grand Wizard of Wrestling, manager at the time,
mm-hmm.
was the first person in wrestling to treat me as an individual. The McMahon style of ruling is to make you feel insignificant so that you would be easy to deal with. You would always be on pins and needles. But he made me feel comfortable. I owe everything to him.
Wow. That was great. Thank you. So let's give people like that pitch again with this show. How is this show different from other one-man shows like in wrestling? Because, I mean, Mick Foley has one. A bunch of people have kind of gotten into like the book writing thing. So you have a different point of view. You've seen things in a very different way. So if you can, just kind of like highlight that for us one more time about like what makes your storytelling vision different from other people's?
Yeah, you're very right. Because some of the one-person shows are comedy shows,
mm-hmm.
and there's comedy in mind, but it's not a pure comedy show. Some are just strictly question and answer sessions, and mine has a question and answer section as my encore at the very end of the show. But it's scripted. It's loosely scripted. It's a very cohesive unit. It's visual because you're seeing the giant screen video.
Mm-hmm.
No one else does that. So, it's a combination of comedy and storytelling and Q&A and viewing rare video. And also by a person who has no intention of ever re-entering the sport of wrestling with a major company. So I hold nothing back. There's, you know, I don't have a relationship with anyone at the time, you know, at this time. And, nor do I intend to. It makes me dangerous. That's why I'm the world's most dangerous announcer.